B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, here we go. We've opened the floodgates.
Turns out the stretching can make you taller.
Apparently, I told you there's something.
Go ahead. What are you finding?
So I just looked on the internet quickly, and I did a search. And there was something that says that spinal compression can make you shorter by about 1%. That over time, your spine compresses, and that by stretching it out again, you can regain that 1%, and which in tall people can be the equivalent of a half inch. So now Kyler Murray's not tall, but I don't know. You know, does it
average?
Does it get him a quarter inch?
I think for him, every eighth of an inch really matters.
Right? Maybe it's three. Like, I don't know. I'm just telling you that I remember hearing about something like this, that your body compresses, and that if you stretch it out again, which is part of what these exercises are, that you know, in theory, you regain what is your legit height.
Insane, Murray.
Yeah. So my buddy, who's a Boston cop, texting saying, "My mom is a massage therapist. If a certain part of your back is worked on in the spine and disc area, you can temporarily be a quarter to a half inch taller. Basically, it improves your posture temporarily. It's called the psoas muscle. A simple Google search will show you." And then another buddy texted me and said, yeah, he was probably using an inversion table. You've seen those when you snap in, you basically
hang
upside down.
Jeez,
stretch yourself out.
Yeah, or they also say one of the things you can do is jump up and hang from a bar.
Yeah, any of those old archaic kind of workouts apparently can really stretch you out.
It straightens out your spine. Again, it sort of it decompresses your spine. It's comical.
Robin the recliner, go ahead, weigh in.
Yeah, he was using his tee to hang ups. No, but seriously, he was. I heard an NFL player on ESPN saying how at the combine they allowed him to tape his ankles, and he was able to put something in there, gain like a half inch or an inch or something. And also, with all that hair compressed down, that's got to give him at least a quarter or a half inch too.
I'm just joking about that because I had not thought of the hanging upside down and the spinal compression and all that crap. How in the world do you get a false reading when you're naked in your underwear in front of a room full of 30 guys? And it's not like you can slip the attendant in a 20.
But do you have socks on?
The whole league. I think you're barefoot.
He had quarters on.
You're allowed to tape your ankles? You're allowed to tape your ankles and shove like a wedge in there or something? You got to be kidding me.
Oh, that's comical. It is.
Next thing you know, it goes from 5'8 to 5'10. It's insane.
Which is why when he has his pro day, I bet you he won't allow people to measure his height.
Trevor and Marion. Go ahead, Trevor.
Is it possible maybe he got like a silicone injection in his feet or something? You know, like Kim Kardashian or like how they
took us. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like a pair of fake bombs, or he said he got it in his heels.
Sure. I rule out nothing with these guys. Again, because every, you know, pardon the expression, but every inch matters.
No, for this kid, every eighth of an inch matters.
Yes.
If he comes in under 5'10", I don't think I think Arizona passes. I mean, I think it's that fine of a line for him.
So this is what I was saying. I don't know, could you put something on your heels that is skin toned that they would never look at the bottom of your feet, and that gives you a little boost, the equivalent of putting a lift in a shoe? I don't know. I'm asking. I'm just, because this is how I would do it.
Could you imagine getting caught doing that? Be like, dude. Come on now.
He's got implants.
He's just...
he's got implants in his heels.
Mike in Wakefield, go.
Yeah, Felger, you ever seen The Princess Bride?
No.
They stretch out Terry Ewell on that table? Torture him?
Princess Bride.
Is that Gene Wilder?
No, old 80s movie with Andre the Giant.
Yeah. Inconceivable.
Yes.
Is that what he keeps saying?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. It's been years since. And Ego Montoya. I haven't seen it in years.
But. I don't remember the stretch out thing.
Me neither.
But, I mean, if you're telling me it's real, if you're telling me this guy was hanging upside down like a bat for whatever, or just hanging on bars for a month or two before this thing to give himself an extra quarter inch, that's all he needs. Because I think 5'10 and an eighth reads much better than 5'9 and 7/8. If he's doing that just to get that quarter inch, I think it helped him. But, boy, won't that be fascinating if he doesn't measure at his pro day If he says, no, guys, I already met.
That's something shady's going on here. Or some hanky-panky where he, you know, he manipulated it. And
So you believe that? You believe his height was inflated?
Oh, I believe that whoever is handling him said to him, listen, this is going to be a big deal. And so we're going to do everything we can to make sure you measure as tall as possible. I do believe that. Now, again, was there hanky-panky going on? Like, I don't know. You know, was he did he have silicone implants in his heels? I have no idea. That
would be next level.
But I'd be willing to bet. But think of the difference for him.
Oh, it's the world. It's the world to
I mean,
be over
5'10". Talking about millions of dollars
no
riding
question.
On whether he measures a half inch taller or not.
No question.
Because if he ends up going in the second or third round or at the end of the first even, that's a huge difference.
Here's Murph and Weymouth on why baseball is so serious and stuck in the mud on steroids and PEDs. Go ahead, Murph.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So a quick comment about, you know, all these baseball snobs and the writer snobs about, you know, steroids ruining the game. You know, do you guys think, obviously, if Babe Ruth, you know, fat behind, had the opportunity to take steroids back in his day, obviously he would have. You know, I spoke to a lot of hardcore baseball fans, and they said the reason why everyone always talks about the game being so great back then is because they didn't have the opportunity to cheat like the players do today. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I think what's amazing is that baseball fans don't care anymore. The fans don't. It's just those old fuddy-duddy writers. I mean, really. I think there was a time the fans did care. When we all realized.
At the very beginning.
At the very beginning. And I was one of them. You know, because I loved the Maguire. And I got the year wrong, so how much could I have loved it? But I was invested in the Maguire-Sosa year. I thought that was really a special season, and I followed it, and I was into it. And then you find out it was all a fake. It was all a science experiment. And you sort of go, oh. That's gross.
Pro wrestling.
Yeah, so at first, there was a good deal of outrage. There was. I get it. That's now 20 years ago, and no one gives a crap anymore. No one gives a crap. I mean, in football, we know that for sure. Because I know that for sure because, never mind locally, people not bringing up Julian Edelman being on steroids. It's never mentioned locally. I don't even feel like the opponents use it against you like they normally would. Like, the league uses everything against you.
All right, leading into that game, you didn't hear.
Did you hear anyone saying, what's Edelman doing? I don't even think the opponents cared this time. And if they'll find anything against you, the Patriots. So no one cares. And I think it's seeped into baseball. I don't think anyone gives two poops.
Yeah, look, I mean, I know I don't. I reached the point. And look,
so he misses half the season and the playoffs.
It's a lot.
First offense.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wow.
It is. It's a big penalty. It's huge. And, you know, think of it again for if you go back, it was the last year or the year before with Cano, and the Mariners were in playoff contention. If they get in, he doesn't play. Now, you're talking about a guy they paid $24 million a year to bring him over there, for crying out loud. That's a major thing. So my one question, I guess, would be, because ultimately, you know, at the time, I remember seeing all the home runs in baseball and going, this is a joke. Like the 70 home runs, it was a joke. It really was. It was a cartoon. What if it went back to that? Would it bother you?
Go back to what again? I'm sorry. I was just looking at the board.
So 65, 70 home runs.
No, do it.
Because the fact that they implemented testing has helped regulate the stupidity.
Yes. So I don't want to go back to those days.
See, that was out of control.
It was. I don't want to go back to 70 home runs. I want baseball to be what football is, which is
a happy medium.
We're going to allow you to do a little bit of gas. If you get stupid about it, we're going to punish you, but not too much. Right? The analogy with the parking ticket and the Red Sox parking is just so perfect. Yeah, you know, we'll punish you. We'll out you. But not too much. Just a few games. You'll get to play in the playoffs. And I think that has curbed the stupid over-the-top steroid use in football to the point where there's just generic steroid use in football. And I'd want baseball to be the same thing.
So
70 home runs, that got stupid.
It did get stupid. It was ridiculous. I mean, Barry Bonds hit... One year slugged like 8-something because they walked him 200 times. No one would pitch to him. It just it got laughable. So, you know, to me, I feel like they're in a good spot right now. Like, I think they're allowing some stuff right now.
In baseball?
Yes. Some stuff.
They are. It's a leaner, more athletic sort of stuff that they're doing.
Yes, because again...
It's not that bulky bodybuilding stuff, but they're you're right. I feel like it's the PED guy in baseball sort of evolved into something else.
Because there are ratios specified in the drug prevention program that are like your testosterone levels can't be more than, you know, 3.7 to 1 or something, whatever the normal, you know. And I'm giving you a very loose assessment of it. But, you know, those numbers are there for a reason. They're basically saying, yeah, we'll let you get to 2.5 times.
Okay.
But if you get to 4 times, that's too much.
And no one cares about Stephen Wright. We certainly don't. But what if that was someone real? First offense, Mookie Betts. Half the season and the postseason. I mean, just think of that. That's just for something that no one cares about anymore. Baseball's gone too far. They're too serious about PEDs, no, man.
Except for that handful of gatekeepers that are voters for the Baseball Hall of Fame and those writers like that. They're the ones. That's why this thing is still there, that you get 80 games and you can't play in the playoffs. Those are the people that still give a rat's ass.
They're fading, though.
The Nanas. Paul in Danvers. Go ahead, Paul, on Kyler Murray.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I love the show. I can't get enough of it. Murray, I love Saturday Celtics. But on this topic, have you guys thought about, I know it's boring, but it could be as simple as, you know, maybe he was measured incorrectly here or in college. I mean, either way, right?
I suppose. Yeah.
Eyeball test alone, though. He looks teeny.
He looks small. He looks small. He looks smaller than 5'10".
I mean, he does. He looks tiny.
What's the picture when he's standing next to Tua at the Heisman thing, either this year or last year?
It would have been this year.
And Tua's not tall, and they just, you can just look at him standing next to Tua, whose height is known as X, and he claims to be Y, and it can't be because of just the how they look standing next to each other. And again, there's shoes there, and I understand all that.
Camera angle.
Yeah. So look, is it possible he got a bad measurement at Oklahoma? Yes, of course, because, you know, sports information directors and these college programs, I mean, you know. I used to cover BU hockey. There was a second assist on every single goal. Okay, add an assist to Sean McEachern. That was the most said thing in the press box. So yes, the colleges will fake anything. So yeah, if you want to tell me that the college measurement was under 5'10", it was under 5'10".
Right, you'd think it'd be the opposite, that they inflated him in college.
Okay, and maybe they did inflate him in college. Who knows? But the college one is suspect. The combine, I believe you're measured in an auditorium in front of 32 scouts or 100 scouts or however many people want to sit in there and watch you measure yourself in your underwear. To me, I felt it was impossible to. How do you inflate your height? You're in bare feet in your underwear on a scale and a measuring, you know, stick or whatever it is. And so how do you inflate your height? But there's scouts who think that Kyler Murray inflated his height. It fascinates me. You're looking at that picture of him next to Tua?
Yeah, and Tagovailoa, however you say his last name, he's 6'1".
Okay, look at that.
Kyler Murray looks like
Sosie.
5 feet nothing.
He's like Sosie standing next to him.
Shorter.
So no, if Tua's 6'1", Kyler Murray ain't 5'10".
No, that looks like a good 4 inches right there. Seriously. I mean, it looks like more than 4 inches.
How did that little fella inflate his height at the combine in front of a room full of scouts in his underwear? That to me is fascinating and impressive.
You know, when you use the phrase measuring yourself in your underwear, suddenly the NFL...
Wait, Mass, you are unbelievable how you just...
The NFL combine is not what I had in mind.
There are a couple of Patriots items.
All you got to do is usually do that with remote.
Okay, stop. I got some actual football things here for you. And that is... Tom Brady, there's some internet rumblings about an extension.
Uh-huh.
Tom Brady with the sausage emoji, the eggplant emoji for Odell Beckham, another online little teaser for Odell Beckham. That's on the board. Rob Gronkowski told us he'd take a couple weeks after the Super Bowl to decide and figure things out. We're now 4+ weeks. We're now a month after the Super Bowl. It's a month, a full month after the Super Bowl. And where's Rob Gronkowski? That's on the board, and Kraft stuff as well. We'll do it right after these words.
No, that looks like a good 4 inches right there.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I haven't thought about that decision at all. I mean, tonight's the night to celebrate with my team. And in the future, that will you know, be decided in a few weeks or so. But tonight, it's about celebrating with our team because we stuck together as a team, and it's about that tonight.
So it's Rob Gronkowski, February 3rd. It's now March 7th, over a month later. And still no determination, still no word from Rob Gronkowski. And, you know, he mentioned the couple-week thing there. There was another interview that there's no sound of where he said, basically, well, you take the 2 weeks after this, and he even spelled out 2 weeks. So now we're 4+. Your thoughts on that, Maz?
Oh, it's driving me crazy. Again, I look at Gronk and say, what's the holdup here? And is this going to become an annual thing like Brett Favre or Doc Rivers that we're going to have to go through every year? Is that what this is? Because can we cut with this stupidity? Are you coming back or not? So NFL free agency starts in a week. Last year he went right up until the draft, if I remember.
Right.
Right? Wasn't it right before the draft that he and Belichick ultimately sort of hashed it out and he announced he was going to come back?
Yeah, it was after the motocross nonsense.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
I just don't remember when that was.
Okay, so but think about that. That's like another month from now, for crying out loud, even more. So I look at that and I say, is this what it's going to be now year in and year out? Because, look, you're a great player. Everybody knows that, or at least you have been for the majority of your career. So are you going to hold your team hostage, or are you actually going to allow them to go and conduct business knowing that you're not going to come back? And I know we're not there yet, but I just get irritated with this. You said 2 weeks. Now it's 4+, and the world is waiting, holding its breath for you.
It's also been 2 weeks since his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said 2 weeks. You know, so we had the two from Gronk. That's now a month removed. Two from his agent. Like, let's go. And I think it has to do with money being shifted around here so that he's going to end up getting a new deal.
Well, so that's what I'm – that's so if, would it bug you, Maz, if he said, yes, I'm coming back for my contract, and the team said, no, we have to cut your pay. And Rob says, well – then I need to see what the money is before I decide whether to come back or not, and it's the team. We're waiting on the team to pay him what he wants to come back.
Okay, then don't tell me it's a couple of weeks. Like, you know, don't create this whole story about it. How about just don't say anything? So now he started this a year ago with the at the Super Bowl with, you know, I may retire, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, okay, here we go. Here's the Gronk drama. If it had been, you know, I don't like this when any guy does it. I didn't like it when Devin McCourty brought it up at the Super Bowl. But at least we know that he's coming back already. Wait for Gronk to play a stupid game.
That's so, but what, again, I'm not convinced we're waiting on Gronk to play a stupid game.
I understand.
We could be waiting on the team to figure out
if
they're going to pay the guy.
Entirely possible. Yep,
or they've already offered him the contract, and Gronkowski's like, I'm not playing for that.
So entirely possible.
And he doesn't want to flat out retire, but he's not going to declare I'm back, and it's all set, sealed, and delivered. I have to come back and play for a couple $1 million when I was set to make $9 million.
Fine, then don't give me the whole public spectacle of the retirement threats and the 2 weeks and et cetera, et cetera. Don't present it as something else. You want to go at it with the team behind the scenes, fine, have a blast. And look, as a talk show host, great. We know about it to give us something to talk about. But whether Brett Favre did it or anyone else did it, I didn't like it then. Why would I like it now?
Okay, item number two. Internet chatter about a Tom Brady extension?
Yeah, so this is taken to Instagram today. Brady posted a photo of Aston Martin, who, of course, he is...
Well, no, so this is Odell Beckham.
Yeah, well, between he and Brady.
Okay, I said contract.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, contract. What, there's just contract... Patsfans.com?
Yeah.
There's message board chatter of a... of a contract?
Yeah, this started with one of the, I guess, more reputable Patriots blogs last night. And the guy who edits that, I forget to pull his name up here, but he said it's going to be a deal coming soon for Tom Brady, and there's been others that have tweeted about it. No blue check marks or no, you know, true reputable NFL reporters, but there's scuttlebutt out there about it.
Okay.
I thought I even saw speculation somewhere, and I wish I had pulled it. I'll see if I can go back and find it. That does, you know, one of these Patriots type blogs speculated 3 in 100 with 50 guaranteed.
That would blow me away.
So I thought so too.
That would stun me.
Because again, the 3 in 100 in and of itself doesn't mean anything, but the 50 million guaranteed over 3 years at like.
Here's the comp. Drew Brees last March, 2 years, 50 million, 27 guaranteed. That's it. Drew Brees is a year or two younger. Brees is now 40. Brady's 41. So I think Brees is a year and a half younger. But I think they came into the league the same year. Was that the 2000 draft or was Brees 02? Either way, it's one of the few real comps
sure.
for Brady. And obviously Brees isn't, you know, half the quarterback, but roughly the same age, same stature in the league. Drew Brees last March, 2 years, $50 million, 27 guaranteed. Which, again, That's 25 a year, obviously. Brady's at 15. Shows you how grotesquely underpaid Brady is. A fair contract for him is starting at 2 years, 50, 27 guaranteed. I think it should be 260 and 30 guaranteed. It should be more than Breeze.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, that's a realistic and relatively fair number.
3 and 100 with 50 guaranteed would be so pleasantly surprised. I'd give him a lot of credit for it. Brady deserves that money. It's time they pay him like that. And so I'd give the team a lot of credit. It would also blow my doors off if they actually did it. It would surprise me.
No, it felt high to me, too. And again, it didn't come from anywhere that it wasn't Adam Schefter or any sort, as Murray would say, a reputable NFL reporter. It just something that I saw out there.
Okay, now Brady Beckham. Sausage emoji.
Yeah, so Brady Instagrams a photo of the Aston Martin Vanquish Vision Concept. It's a new car. Of course, he has an endorsement deal with. And it doesn't go unnoticed by wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., who replied, "Waiting for mine, too. Sheesh." And then Brady took the commentary up a level, responding, "At OBJ, come to Foxborough for a test drive." And then this has now since gone viral because people are led to believe that if he comes up for the test drive, it means he's actually working out for the team. They're going to trade for him, and he's going to be in a Patriots uniform. Like, no sausage emojis, no eggplant emojis, nothing like that. But there continues to be this dance between these two on Instagram.
This flirtation. So what's up? Did you put any stock into this?
So maybe this is Brady sort of angling for them to try to do something like this.
Well, I mean, it's laughable on one front, but this is how the modern athlete floats rumors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's how they communicate now. So I don't dismiss it. I think it'd be a huge mistake. I want nothing to do with the guy.
Told you, I don't want Beckham either. I think it's ridiculous. And haven't the Giants said that they have no intention of trading him?
Yes.
I just wonder if this is Brady playing some stupid game, maybe even trying to put a little pressure on the team because he knows he's going to lose Gronk and he needs some sort of legit threat to go along with Edelman. And I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I have a hard time believing that Odell Beckham, A, is going to get traded, and B, that Bill Belichick's going to be the guy to bring him in.
Finally, latest on Robert Kraft. Story's taken a couple different turns today. It was reported this morning because in court filings it said so, that Robert Kraft's appearance date had been moved, it was on March 27th, it was moved to March 28th, and that he had to, in all caps, must be present at this hearing, okay, at a pretrial hearing for his misdemeanor charges on solicitation of prostitution. That pretrial hearing was set for the 27th. They moved it to the 28th, and the directive included in all capital letters, the defendant must be present at this hearing. When I read that, I said, okay, game's on. Robert's lowering up, deny, accuse. The Florida prosecutors are saying, fine, you want to do this? Let's go. We'll see you in court. In fact, we're not even going to let your attorney appear for you. You're going to have to show up yourself, and we're going to do everything by the book, and we'll see you in court. And we'll just, and here's the tape. And I thought maybe that's what was going on. Turns out, the latest story here, Robert Kraft will not have to appear at the March 28th arraignment on two misdemeanor counts at a Florida day, blah, 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 blah. His attorney said Thursday. His attorney said he does not have to appear on March 28th. This is a routine procedural hearing that the court sets based on its schedule, West Palm Beach defense attorney Peter Goldberger said. I'm sorry, Jack Goldberger said. The notice of appearance by the defendant is boilerplate. But in fact, the lawyer appears defendant in a misdemeanor case. He added the defendant does not appear. So Kraft's lawyer says he's not going to appear. Haven't heard anything from the prosecutors, but that's that. So according to Kraft's lawyer, he ain't going.
Yeah, it's probably a form letter, right? Like, you know.
Well, it's boilerplate. Yeah,
That has the standard terminology in there and et cetera, et cetera. Like, I'm still eager to see how this thing plays out because I'm not convinced that Kraft's maneuverings to this point have been "quote unquote" boilerplate.
Okay, certainly not. And the other thing that interests me today is that there's another member of his legal team we didn't know about. Okay, we already knew about this Jack Goldberger, who represented one of the most reprehensible and vile child molesters and sex traffickers that we know of today. This Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, that we knew Jack Goldberger was on the case. Then we learned the other day from the New York Times that William Burke, who worked in the George Bush White House and also worked on the team for Kavanaugh during his Supreme Court hearings, William Burke was added to the team. And now we have learned that Alex Spiro, who is currently a guest lecturer at Harvard Law School and was a go-to option for big-name clients like Jay-Z, Mick Jagger, DeMarcus Cousins, Charles Oakley, Shabo Cephalosha, Julian Edelman, and Aaron Hernandez. This guy's on the team as well. So now you have the celebrity attorney, big name guy who represented Jay-Z, Jagger, okay, Aaron Hernandez, with William Burke, who is a White House lawyer and helped work on a Supreme Court nominee, and this Jack Goldberger, who represented, again, one of the most vile sex trafficker, a true sex trafficker. I'll say what I said yesterday. Does this not feel like a lot of lawyers for a misdemeanor?
Well, now, especially when you rattle off some of those names. Like, it was true yesterday, too. I'm not saying it wasn't. But, again, I'll bring up the phrase we brought up yesterday. Don't use a cannon to kill a mosquito. Like, this is, when you start, look at, for a misdemeanor.
This is what I'm saying. Boy, that's that's a lot of lawyers for a misdemeanor in a county courthouse in Palm Beach. That is, what are you going to do with all those guys down there? What are they, these are procedural little hearings. You go in for the arraignment, and usually you don't even go in for the arraignment. And then you show up and you plead no contest, and they say, do some community service, and we drop the charges, and that's it. Well, in most cases, you don't even need a lawyer for this. He's got three giant ones. Why does he have three massive lawyers? Why is he trying to kill a mosquito with a cannon? And I raised yesterday, maybe it's not a mosquito. Maybe he's afraid of some other charges coming down and a bigger legal case here. And in which case, he's gunning up. He's lawyering up. But for the misdemeanor, like, really? Really? And then again, for what? At the end of the day, for what? So his arraignment was on the 27th, which was the last day of the owners' meetings, which are in Arizona this year. It was moved to the 28th. And when I first heard that, I'm like, okay, Robert got that moved. No, that was the judge's request. Per judge's request, it was changed from the 27th to the 28th. Zoe said today that Kraft is planning to be in Phoenix, Arizona. It's probably Scottsdale for the owners' meetings, the 24th through the 27th. So Robert's going to make an appearance and still appear on behalf of the Patriots, I suppose.
Right, and that I also heard Zoe say has not ruled out speaking at the owners' meetings, right?
Okay, so there's the latest on Kraft. Boy, that's a lot of lawyers. Boy, that's a lot of lawyers for this thing, for a massage.
I mean, that doesn't feel like somebody who is bracing for defense. That feels like someone who is bracing to attack.
We've got that on the table, the Patriots stuff, the stretching of Kyler Murray, all of it. Your calls, I promise, right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right back to your phones, as promised. Here's Gary in Hampshire with the Patriots talk. Go ahead, Gary.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I got it on some kind of decent word that the Celtics are going to take a tight end in the first round.
The Patriots are going to take a tight end in the first round, Gary. What do we think about that? How do you feel about a tight end in the first round?
I'm into it. I mean, considering the depth and some of those guys that could be there at the back of the end of the round, whether it's the kid from Alabama, Irv Smith, Noah Fant, one of the guys from Iowa, like, yeah, at 32, one of those guys could be available. And even if Gronk does come back for one more year, I'd like for the next guy to be in place. Like, I want to see them take a quarterback, maybe third or fourth round, so you can start developing under Brady. And I also want to see them take a young tight end so you can develop under Gronk.
Fine with me.
I mean, I just
so it's not another running back.
To me, as long as it's a good pass-catching tight end. Like, you know, if you want to give me Daniel Graham or something, I'm not interested. But,
well,
but a guy that can factor into the passing game.
They're all, if you draft a guy in the first round, they're all supposed to. Graham just didn't, and Ben Watson was average, and so they missed on those players from a, you know, pass-catching standpoint. But if you draft someone in the first round, yeah, they're offensive players. They're not run game. They're not blockers. Rick and Woburn, yeah, and Robert Kraft. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, what's up? I'm basically, yeah, I'm talking about, yeah, Kraft. He's actually, he's a rock and roller. He's basically, whatever. He's, how old are you guys again?
50. 49.
All right. Okay, cool. Well.
Okay, bye. I don't know. What does that matter? I always add a year to my age because I don't want to be one of those guys that I'm 40, you know. I could easy, I'm 49. But I just automatically go to 50 because I feel 50.
Round off.
I feel 50. So does this enhance, just trying to pick up on a little bit of what I think you might be saying, does this enhance Kraft's street cred with the crowd that he's running with, Murray?
What do you think?
I'm asking you.
Of course it does.
You're closer to dim streets than I am.
Yeah, it does. People want this. I think that there's a sect of Patriot fans that want this, and they want him to win, and they want to fight this.
No, I'm not asking that.
No, you mean the lawyer and the guys he's defended.
No, I'm not asking that at all. I'm asking with some of the folks that he's running around with, does it enhance his street cred that he's now a criminal?
I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I thought I got about the Patriots fans and, like, the lust of winning.
Oh, no. Here. That thing I know of.
Oh. I can't really speak to that. I don't know. I'm under the impression that a lot of people kind of find that embarrassing.
Oh, I do. But what about the rapper crowd? Hey, Robert, we popped your cherry. Attaboy.
Oh, maybe.
Welcome to the crowd.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah,
yeah. No way.
Oh, I don't know.
No way.
No, Mike could be onto this, you know, like... Look, I mean, why do you think that a lot of these dudes, they watch Scarface? Because, like, it's not the story of just coming up and making something out of nothing for yourself. It's that he's beating the rap. It's why a lot of them want to emulate, you know, who was the Teflon Don back in the day in the late 80s, early 90s?
John Gotti.
John Gotti. It's like these guys are kind of, you know, they try to emulate them in a lot of, like, hip-hop and rap culture because, you know, you beat the feds. You can't keep them locked down. Like, yeah, maybe there is that angle to it.
I mean,
maybe.
I don't know. It's...
Oh, you mean the fact that now he's being charged with something?
It feels like in the rap world, even if you're not a criminal, you want to be sort of treated like you are kind of one because it increases your whatever.
Yeah, your street cred.
Yeah, your street cred. I'm just talking about this from as a 50-year-old old guy. But it feels like there's some cred there. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. Look, you might be
there's
right.
Lyrics to be written there. Yeah, you know, like.
I mean, I'm the wrong guy to be asking. I look at it and laugh. Like, really?
Eric.
Like, to me, there's a mystery. Again, to me, it's not that big an
offense. Hi there.
I kind of find the whole story funny.
Eric in Rochester, why is Kraft lowering up?
I think he's lowering up because he wants to make the first game of the year. So he's going to push this thing so it goes on and on and on, and he gets to the first game of the year.
Okay, I just don't know why you need three lawyers to do that in a county courthouse for a misdemeanor. I mean, one should be able to do it. All you're doing is filing motions and postponements and putting things off, and I don't know if he can even do that.
But I also don't see how they're connected.
Why do you need Jay-Z's lawyer on top of Brett Kavanaugh's lawyer, on top of a high-powered sex crime defender lawyer just to delay the thing? That makes no sense.
Okay, but again, I come back to how is the first game of the year related to the actual criminal part of it?
The league's going to act independent of the criminal part.
Right, exactly. Yeah, to me, they're not connected. Like, so he's going to fight it. Great. The league can still suspend him. I mean, that's the part that Goodell can make a decision here at any time and deem that what has happened is already, you know, hurtful to the league or the image of the league.
There's only one way this makes sense to me, and that is if he's facing more than misdemeanor charges. If there's something else coming up, if there's something bigger that he's got to defend himself against, and he's really got to lawyer up. But if it's just this, good God, you know.
But I don't think it's related to week one and the idea. That's all.
Oh, he's trying to worm out. He's trying to worm his way back into week one. That's important to him.
Maybe, I guess. But again, it's independent of what happens in the criminal case.
From the league standpoint, correct?
Yes.
But his whole strategy is trying to get out there.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just don't see the connection. To me, there were...
Oh, listen to Zoe. Just listen to Scott.
Why would I do that?
Because he's got the ear of the team.
Okay.
And he talks to people. and just the way he's carrying himself. They'll drop the thing. They drop the charges on Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy Haslam never ran, never got any league discipline because his charges were dropped, and that's the template that Robert's using, and he's going to apply as much pressure as he can to get them to drop the charges so the league says we can't do anything because they actually dropped the charges, and we'll see you opening night.
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully believe it.
So then what's the end game?
I don't know what the end game is. Maybe he doesn't want any semblance of it on a record, and I understand that he could get rid of that by admitting it, but by just doing the community service. But that, in effect, for him, he might say no admission. I don't know. I'm on you. The week one thing doesn't feel right to me. It just I don't think that's that big a price to pay to be there to week one is the end game. That's the goal, to be there week one for the football game.
You don't think that's important to him? What, are you crazy?
I don't think it's in the sports world. It is, but in the real world,
no, in his world.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I have a hard time believing that they're connected.
All I'm telling you, though, is he doesn't need these three lawyers to even do that. He just needs the Goldberger guy. I don't know why he's brought in this dream team of lawyers.
Yeah, I can't answer that one for you. I don't know.
I remain convinced it has to do with the video. It is to strike fear into anyone that may think of leaking that video out so it sees the light of day. And the more weapons he has, the more fear you can strike into that person. Like, oh, okay, they can ruin my life forever. Oh, if that ever,
I mean, maybe ever. Maybe I'm naive. Again, you know, you know that week one means more to him than I do. But I look.
How would I possibly know that?
Well, no, you're telling me you don't think that's what you think the reason is.
Well, I'm just because I listen to Zoe.
Okay, I've listened to Zoe a lot, and sometimes he's wrong. Well, like he's any different than anybody else on the planet. All of a sudden, Zoe's going to be right about everything.
Well, but I mean, there's no other end game then. Unless he's facing something really serious, and this is why he's lawyering up, because he's facing something really serious.
I don't know. Sometimes people get hung up on any blemish on their record.
He just can't admit to fault.
Maybe.
He just can't admit. So that might be it, too.
Maybe. Like, again, but the week one thing, I don't know. Again, maybe I'm naive. But I look at it and say, they've raised five banners already. Like, so being there for the sixth is the reason why he wants to get out of this? It doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, my God. It makes perfect sense to me. But that's where we are. We got that on the board. A quick Bruins minute right after this, so don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Bruins bring it in. Held in by Johansson. He got popped near side, away from the puck by Ferland. And he is down in pain along the near side. Johansson laying on his left shoulder. Donnie Degro will head out.
Johansson tried to make this move on Ferland, tried to get around him. Ferland lined him up perfectly. It looks like a real good, clean hit from Ferland. He might have caught him in the head a little bit, but the angle that I just saw, Judd, and we're looking at right now, it's just that's a good, hard hockey hit. Didn't look like he had his feet up in the air, off the ice. The elbow was not up.
Wasn't late.
No, not late at all.
All right, just a quick Bruins thought. I have a couple calls on the board that I'll get to as well. Johansson that hit the other night against the Whalers. Scary for a guy with bad concussion history. The way he went down, the way he reacted on the ice, the way he was taken off, he thought, oh, there you go. There goes a trade right down the crapper. And it looked like a trade that actually worked. Not that he was setting the world on fire, but it looked like he had helped that lineup. And he wasn't, what, 3-4 games into his Bruins tenure before he gets knocked into next week, and there's a concussion, and see you later. Turns out, a bruised lung will be reevaluated in a week. So,
I mean, those hits to me are always scary.
How do you bruise a lung?
Well, you know, I don't know. I suppose it bangs against the side of your rib cage when you get drilled. Like, to me, that, you know, Bledsoe's was what? Punctured?
I don't know, Jimmy. Do you have anything on that?
Is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
I've been asking about this injury for a long time, Maz.
Yeah.
I'll have you know.
And Bergeron had a didn't Bergeron have a punctured lung in the playoffs? Like, to me, it's got to be that your lung hits up against the side of your rib cage and it gets bruised. Like, those are the ones that scare you. And he did. He took a shot. Like, that. Those ones side to side like that sometimes are the worst hits. So, you know, they said a week, right? Is that what you said?
A week before he's reevaluated.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know.
So they dodged a big bullet on that because a broken shoulder is 4 to 6, and you don't know if he's going to be back again this year. A concussion, forget about it.
Indefinite.
You know, right. Could be a week, could be a year. Who knows? This is like, I don't know if it's ever possible to have good news with a injured lung, but that was really the best case scenario there.
Look, I thought it. Look, I thought it was separated shoulder, like collarbone. I thought it could have been a million things, and not this.
Okay, Bruins go for their 18th straight without a loss in regulation tonight. 18th straight at the Garden. We have it here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have a couple Bruins calls on our board. We'll get to them here. Nick in Braintree, your thoughts? What do you got?
How you guys doing? First off, I want to go ahead and say sorry about the direct line call I did earlier, but let's move forward from that. In regards to Backus, all right, let me tell you a little something, okay? This guy sat down with Butch, all right? He wanted to go ahead and discuss, hey, sorry, Daddy, I want to stay on the roster, all right? This guy gets paid $6 million a year, $4 million after this, all right? He has an A on his sweater. He has a -6 for the year, all right? Not only that, we have Marcus Johansson, who just got onto the Bees. He can't keep a head on his swivel, all right? What is this, Peter Chiarelli, and we're going ahead and signing Lucic? What are we doing here? All right? Backus needs to figure it out. Let's go, Bruins. Let's go beat the Panthers tonight. Let's go.
Okay, Nick. He's pissed at David Backus for sacrificing his health to stay on the ice. And, you know, the contract's not his fault. Contract ain't his fault. The Bruins are the one. Don Sweeney's the one that gave it to him. And he's got 2 years after this. 2 years.
I mean, he will be the guy squeezed out if they get everybody back, though, right?
But, I will say this, and I just called it up. I've been saying he makes $6 million a year. That was the AAV. The average annual value was $6 million a year. But in base salary, he's only making $1 million next year and $3 million the year after.
Buyout.
So that's a real good buyout possibility right there. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a buyout. Because, again, whatever it is, two-thirds, three-quarters, and you spread it over X number of years, that's not a huge hit. I mean, when they, you know, that's not a huge hit. They should seriously consider a buyout there.
So it's in the real cash money, the real cash outlays, not as much as I thought. Either way, I think he deserves a lot of credit. He's not half the player that they need him to be. He's not. And that sucks. And I also think it sucks that he's the one taking the fights when he's getting his ass kicked every other night. And it's too bad that the league has gone to a place where there's not a designated guy on your team anymore. It's too bad that even on the fourth lines now, the Bruins' fourth line is sort of standard. Young, fast, you know, energetic, scrappy, but not really the enforcer kind of thing. Not the heavy sort of, you know, that's where the enforcer goes. That a lot of teams don't even have one. The Bruins don't have one. And I think the league's kind of not better off for it. I like the fight game and I like that role. But so now, especially when Kevin Miller's hurt, it falls on David Backus, who had 35 and 12 concussions. It probably isn't suited for the duty, but I give him credit for doing it. We talked about that a lot yesterday. Mike in Springfield, what do you got on the Bees?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, Mike. What do you got? Yeah, we need to reset our rules. No pleasantries, especially when we're on delay, especially when we're on remote and there's a delay. It's clunky. We're fine. You're fine. You don't need to thank us. Just get right to the tape, right? Please.
Okay, but
go ahead, Mike.
Why do you guys always talk about the Patriots? Why don't we talk about the Bruins and Celtics? It's winter. It's March. The hockey players are the most down-to-earth athletes in the world. The playoffs are the best. Why do we talk about the owner going to get a massage?
Because that's kind of an interesting story. Do you have a Bruins thought for me to talk Bruins?
Yeah, I do. I'm a season ticket holder to the Boston Bruins. I'm a season ticket holder to the Boston Celtics.
What's your hockey point?
The hockey point is you got the hottest team in Boston right now, hottest team in hockey, and we're talking about Kraft. Why?
Okay, he's just calling to complain about what we're talking about.
No, he wants to program the show.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would say, you know what, Jimmy, when he calls back, get his name. We'll put him on the email chain in the morning, and we'll let him program the show.
If you want to talk hockey, that's the wrong approach. Call up and give me a hockey take, and we'll talk hockey. That's why I put you up to talk hockey.
No, I think we should add him to the email chain. That's what I think.
I'm as willing to talk hockey as anyone, probably more than anyone. So call up and talk hockey. Everyone else does it. We spent over 2 hours on hockey yesterday.
Yeah, how come you guys don't talk hockey? All you want to do is talk about the owner.
Continue with your calls. We will get to the Celtics. We haven't hit on them yet. And another win for the Green last night. And I think that crack across the kisser has definitely left an imprint and definitely made a mark on Gordon Hayward. Because
speaking of black eyes.
Right.
I wanted to ask you.
Well, it's not a black eye. I have an eye infection. I got poop in my eye somehow. Uh-huh. I got some sort of infection.
Oh, you're welcome. Marcus Smart punched you and Gordon Hayward.
I think Sarah hit you with a frying pan.
That would be a neat trick. Okay, we come back with the Celtics after Murray's update. No commercials.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.